buying bug spray at the Rite Aid Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Batteries, bug spray, and I saw this bottle of barbecue sauce, so I figured I'd try it. I bought it. I didn't open it yet. So I go to checkout, and the lady tells me, tomorrow's the big day. And I'm looking at her, and I says, it is. She says, yes. She says, Chelsea's getting married. So I said to her, who's Chelsea? Honestly, that's what I said. No, I mean, it just, she said, President Clinton's daughter. And so I said, oh, President, the adulterous Clinton, who taught all of our young men and women it's okay to have an adulterous affair, and he's the leader of our country, and this is the type of role model he sets. And she said to me, now, you shouldn't judge people like that. I said, I shouldn't judge people like that. And I says, he shouldn't do things in the position he's in to instruct everybody that it's okay. She says, you don't know. It was agreed to between him and Hillary that this is the way that their marriage would be, so it's not wrong in what they do. I says, it's not, is it? I said, what about God? She says, what do you mean? Nobody knows what he thinks. I said, he took 66 books to write down what he thinks. It's called the Bible. She says, well, nobody knows what he thinks. I says, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I think it's in one of the commandments, don't you? Well, that's up to God, and I don't think God's going to judge him that way. I says, you don't? She says, no, I don't. And so she went on to type me out and I gave her the money for whatever, and I wasn't going to let it stay at that, of course. So as I left, I said, I still think he's a no good, dirty, rotten, beep, beep, beep. I didn't say a bad word. And he's an adulterous such and such, and God will judge him one day whether you think so or not. And I walked away because I didn't feel like arguing with her. And so I thought to myself, her response is a common response in Christianity. Don't judge him. You're not supposed to be judgmental. Or did you ever hear those words said to you, don't judge me? Or did you ever say those words to people, I'm not going to let you judge me, this sort of thing. As if saying those words places you in a position that you now no longer need to hear anything that God has to say to you coming from anybody at all. So I got to thinking, are Christians allowed to judge? And we have world-famous verses that people take out of context and use to teach that Christians shouldn't judge. And we have people that walk around saying, don't be judgmental, etc., etc. And yet there is great truth to be learned. So I like to go to the Word of God, and I'd like to let the Word of God instruct us this morning on the subject of, are Christians allowed to judge? And I like to begin in Romans chapter 2, because in Romans chapter 2, this is a verse of Scripture that people use out of context to teach, don't judge me. When you say something to them or you bring something to their attention that they don't want to hear, this is one of the verses they use to say, don't judge me, don't be judgmental, or I'm not going to let you judge me. In Romans 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whomsoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest that, for that thou that judgest dost the same things. You're doing the same thing that you're judging the person on, is what it means. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do the same things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And then we go on and we quote the verse and we preach it and we say, see, you're inexcusable, that judging me, that you're judging, and don't do this and don't do that. In the world famous verse in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 1, that you don't even have to turn to because everybody and their mother knows it. Judge not that ye be not what? Judge. So we go and we quote that verse to people. Verse 2 says, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, that was. The word judge means to separate, to put asunder, to pick out, to select. Means to choose or to determine, to resolve or to decree. These are all synonyms that go with the word judge. It means to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong. That's what it is to judge. To pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. Go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 21. I'm going to read it to you out of the New International Version, John 7, 21. And Jesus said unto them, I did one miracle, and you are all astonished. Verse 22. Yet, because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcised a child on the Sabbath. Now, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Understand the question? Saying that you guys circumcise a kid on the Sabbath, you don't have a problem with it. But me, I heal the whole person. I heal a guy on the Sabbath, and you got a problem with me. Verse 24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Make a right judgment. Jesus Christ never told the people to stop judging. Jesus Christ instructed the people to stop judging by mere appearances. He furthermore went on in the verse and instructed the people to make what? Right judgments or righteous judgments. So in essence, Jesus Christ is instructing people to make judgments, but what kind of judgments are they supposed to be? Righteous judgments, right judgments. Okay? He said, stop walking by the flesh. Stop walking by eyesight. Stop walking by the appearances. Don't judge according to appearances. That means if you bring me a cheeseburger and you want something from me, I'm not supposed to make my decision based on that cheeseburger. I take it and say no anyway. That's a righteous judge. Yes. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell people to make right judgments or to judge righteously here in John 7 if he turned around and told them, judge not that you be not judged in Matthew 7, would he? Because he'd be contradicting himself, right? He wouldn't be saying, I want you to do this way, do this, but he wouldn't be saying, don't do this in another chapter and verse, right? So something's deeper. We have to understand the concept, the whole subject of this judgment aspect, so we can understand that Jesus did not contradict himself, nor did he contradict the word of God. Look at Acts chapter 13, please. For all of life and within the Christian church, God expects Christian believers to make sound judgments. He encourages them. That's why he sets forth his word, so that they can consider his word, so that they can make a judgment as to accept his word or to neglect his word. In Acts chapter 13, verse 44, it says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They were there to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first spoken unto you, but seeing you have put it from you and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? The Gentiles. See, they spoke the truth of God's word, but the people they were speaking the truth of God's word to weren't interested in hearing the truth of God's word. You mean to tell me that they're, and what kind of people were they? Jews. They were Jews, but what did the Jew represent? God's people, right? They were supposed to be God's people. They were supposed to be interested in God's word. They had synagogues, they had laws, they had rules, they had regulations. They were the religious people. And they were the ones who said, we love God, we serve God, we have this building, we do all these things because we want to please God. When Paul came preaching the gospel, those people who had the facade of the building, the facade of loving God, the facade of we want to serve God, their response to the word of God, because it says when Paul came, everyone came to hear the word of God, their response was that they were filled with envy and they spake against those things which Paul spoke, contradicting and blaspheming. So there's a category of people that have a facade of we love God and we want to serve God, but when the truth of God's word is presented to them, they are going to respond with what? Envy, contradicting, and blaspheming. So what does the word encourage us to do? The word encourages us to make an appointment to go and talk to them so that we can win them to the word of God's way of thinking. The word of God teaches us to bring forth and hold forth the word because they're going to listen to what we have to say. The word of God teaches us to present them the truth, to give them a chance to hear so they can repent, right? That's not what Paul did. You know what he did? He said it was necessary we said such and such, but guess what? Lo, we turned from you and we're going where? We're going to someone who wants to hear God's word. That's what he said. God never told you to go and argue about the word. God never told you to go and reform the goats. Jesus Christ said, my what? Sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. The people pronounce judgment on themselves concerning that which was right or wrong. They heard what Paul said, and you know what they said? That's wrong. So they judged themselves. Was it right judgment? No. Paul wanted the people to judge his words, and he wanted them to make a decision on what he presented. But here in Acts, they judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Why? Because they didn't want to hear what Paul said. Paul didn't stay there and try to convince them. You know where he went? To the Gentiles. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you need to answer everyone concerning your faith. Some people will not hear you. All they want to do is just fight. How did Paul handle those people? The ones who criticized, the ones who envy, the one who's blasphemed. He left. He went to somebody who wanted to hear God's word, because God's word is too valuable to present to a person who wants to argue about it. You see the same thing in the life of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, it says, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Again, I want you to note who it was. It was the chief priest and the elders of the people. It wasn't the common Joe out in the street who you would extend more courtesy to. It was the educated ones who are supposed to know the word of God. They're the ones who came to Jesus Christ, the chief priest and the elders of the people. And they came to him as he was teaching. And they said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave you this authority? They wanted to know where Jesus got his license to speak about the word of God and with the boldness that he used. You didn't come to our schools. We didn't ordain you. You don't have our seal of approval. Who do you think you are? You're just a kid. And he was, because biblically you didn't start teaching until you were in your 30s. He just started. Jesus said unto you, I'm going to ask you something. You tell me, and then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? They reasoned amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of men, they feared the people, because they all held John as the prophet. So this is the inside working of a political mind. They answered him and said, we cannot tell. So you know what Jesus said unto them? Neither do I tell you by what authority do I do these things. Did he try to win them over to his way of thinking? Did he have to explain anything? No. Did he spend time with them explaining anything? No. You know why? Because he knew from the get-go that these guys weren't going to believe. They had been instructed, they had been indoctrinated in their religion, and they weren't no more interested in learning the truth from Jesus Christ as they were a frog on a rock and cooking it. They didn't care. They wanted to catch him and make an idiot out of him, quote unquote. They wanted to catch him and make an example out of him in front of people. That's all they wanted. They weren't interested in learning the truth. They were interested in learning the truth. It would approach it in a long different way. Luke 23:9 says, talking about Herod, Pilate, one of those guys at the crucifixion, then he questioned with him in many words, Jesus Christ being questioned in many words. And the rest of the verse says, but Jesus answered him nothing. He didn't answer him back. He had all these questions coming at him. You say you're the Christ. I want to see you do a miracle. This. And you know what Jesus said? Zip. You know why Jesus said zip? Because he knew that this guy wasn't going to get converted. Because he knew this guy just wanted to make sport of him. Because he knew this guy was just like at the bar wanting to do something with his time and not really interested in learning the word of God. Jesus Christ didn't waste his time. Jesus Christ didn't waste God's time by coming back and holding a conversation with this guy. See? You speak to people if they want to hear the word of God. You don't speak to people if they want to argue. You don't speak to people if they want to make an issue out of things. Let them go argue with Oprah or somebody, you know. Your time is too important. Your time is too valuable. Look at John chapter 12. So you have to learn this, though, throughout the years, because your heart as a Christian is you want to help everybody. When I was a young Christian, I wanted to help everybody. I still want to help, but I want to help people who want help now. Okay? That doesn't mean that you wave your hand and say, oh, you don't pick like that. That's not the way you do it. Everyone has a chance. But I would talk with people, and all they would do is end up and argue. I would want to win people, and all they would do is end up and argue. I made a plan to meet with people who my sister told me wanted to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they turned out to be deprogrammers who wanted to sit there and end up and argue with me. See, I was a young Christian. My heart was right, and that was one of the most horrible days in my life. So you don't do that. Don't be stupid. John 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look at it, 48. He that rejects me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. Hath one that judgeth him. Then it names the one that's going to judge him. The word that I have spoken, that same word shall judge him in the last day. Now here is something very interesting. Because here Jesus tells us that the only true standard for judgment is the word of God. It is the word that he has spoken. It is the word of God that is the only true standard for judging that which is right and that which is wrong. In John chapter 7, Jesus told us to make right judgments. To make right judgments. The only way that you will be able to make a right judgment is to know the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the only standard that we use to make those right judgments. Understand? It's the only way. A lot of people make judgments all day long. But if you want them to be right according to the standard, you want them to be God's way, God's judgment. That woman tried to convince me that because Hillary and Bill had agreed that their marriage would be an open marriage and that he could do whatever he wanted, she tried to convince me that because they had agreed to that, that that was right and I should not judge them for that. And then when I brought up God and what he thought, she says, nobody knows what God thinks. See, just because you make a definition of evil, or just because you're comfortable with it, or just because you accept it in your life, doesn't mean it's right. And if you get comfortable with evil, and if you get comfortable with not making waves in life, your life will not go where God wants it to go. It just won't. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because this world is full of evil. And that doesn't mean you go and hide from it. That means that you got to shine the more bright. Because the darker the night, the brighter the stars shine. That means that you cannot afford to compromise. That means that one day, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to be dead. And you children and you younger people are the ones that are going to have to do something with God's Word. And unless you get God's Word built into your life and get serious about it and get committed to it, the devil will take you through life. He will pleasure you. He will pressure you. He'll do everything he can just to suck the Word out of you. You understand? You have to understand that this is your life we're talking about. It's not old religious people just preaching a religious gospel because we want you to be good. This is your life, and the devil will steal, kill, and destroy from you. He will ruin your marriage. He will ruin your children. He will ruin your finances. He will do whatever he can because he hates you. I'm not telling you that to scare you. I'm telling you that so you're aware of your adversary, the devil who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? God didn't tell you to scare you. He told you that so you would be sober and smart and understand. You can't be a passive Christian. You can't. As God's people, we are privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. He has entrusted us the precious truths of His Word, and we must learn to guard them carefully. Jesus never forbid us to not judge. Careful discrimination is essential in the Christian life. Christian love is not blind. Jesus said, don't judge unrighteously. That's what Jesus taught. That's the teaching of the Word. Jesus said, don't judge. No. Jesus said, don't judge unrighteously. And if one would read the context of Matthew 7, beginning in Matthew 6, and see what he was speaking about, that would very evidently come to light in your minds. Look at Philippians chapter 1. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed with regards to the people of the Church of Grace. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all what?
Judgment.
He wanted us to abound, and he wanted us to abound in knowledge, our love to be, and in judgment. Why? That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How are you going to prove what is good or what is bad unless you make a judgment on it? And unless that judgment is by knowledge, and the only knowledge by the knowledge of God's Word. How are you going to decide? what's good or bad. You're not going to be able to. And the prayer was, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. In other words, grow in it. The person who believes all that he or she hears and accepts everyone who claims to be spiritual will experience nothing but confusion and great spiritual loss in their life. Jesus said there's false prophets. That's what he said. So there must be a few floating around. But if you're of the opinion, oh, I'm going to just love everybody and believe everybody and accept what they say, you're going to be nothing but confused all your life, hurt, destroyed, and everything else. Consider the following verses that all start with the phrase, or close to it, now I would not have you to be ignorant. Romans 1:13. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you would be ignorant of this mystery. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 regarding the hope. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 10:15 says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Paul is saying, I'm speaking to you, and I'm supposing that you're an educated bunch, that you're wise people. I want you to judge what I say. Why would Paul exhort the people to judge what he says if Matthew 7 says, judge not? See, there's something wrong somewhere. He's saying, judge what I say. Make a decision as is it to its right or is it wrong? You judge. Think about it. Got it? Actively engage your brain. That's what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not to the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not one wise man among you, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? Paul says it's a shame that you don't have one person that can make a righteous judgment in your congregation. He didn't say don't judge. To the contrary, he said it's a shame that you don't have enough people or even one that can make a righteous judgment. You got to go to the unbelievers to get a righteous judgment. You don't have somebody in the church. Why is that? See? Look at 1 Corinthians 14. So we begin to see the flavor of God's word is not that we shouldn't judge. The flavor of God's word encourages us to judge, but to judge righteously. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the others, what? Judge. You know, we had prophecy this morning. You're supposed to listen. You're supposed to decide, is that of God or is that not of God? Is that what it says? That's what it means. You're encouraged to think. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. See, this is the doctrinal end of it. And in a minute, I'm going to move into the practical end of it and show you how the devil gets us all messed up on this subject. Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A mature believer is one who's able to discern, to make judgments between that which is good and evil. That's a mature believer. Someone who doesn't do that is still a babe in Christ, not able to do that. See? Sometimes people don't want to judge. Sometimes people don't want to get involved. This is what they say. I can't handle this. I don't want to hear this. If I hear one more time about this, I don't want... Well, okay. You know what that's telling me about that person? They need to grow a little bit. They're not bad. They just haven't seen it yet. They haven't seen it yet. Because sometimes you have to stay on something until it gets resolved. And if you get tired or something, you say, I can't handle it. I'm tired of this. I'm sick. I don't hear this no more. Well, okay. Is it fixed? No. So what are you saying? I don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. It makes me uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry. Okay? Pickers make me uncomfortable, but I don't say I don't want to deal with it when it's stuck in my arm. I got to pull it out before I can get peace, right? Not just you, it's everybody. I go through that. I'd rather not deal with this. Oh, I'm going to upset them. Or I go through that. But somebody's got to do it. Strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I don't want to hear about the demons. I don't want to hear about the devil's spirit world. I don't want, just don't mention the devil to me. Well, you know, stay a babe. Put your diaper on. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. How are you going to prove something if you're not going to make a judgment on it? If you're not going to make a decision on it, how are you going to know what's good or bad? So you can't just accept everything. You have to make a righteous judgment. And God's given you the brains. He's given you the ability, Christ in you, and he's given you the word to make a righteous judgment. Now, all that's lacking is your will. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 is where we read earlier, as one of the great verses that people use to scare us away from confronting them with anything under the guise of being judge or judgmental. Romans 2, 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judges, look at the end of the verse now, doeth the same things. Doeth the same things. The judging wasn't the problem. The doing the same things as the other group that they were judging was the problem. You have Gentiles being spoken of in the beginning of Romans, and you have Jews being spoken of in chapter 2 and forward. The Gentiles were lauding their knowledge, etc., etc., and judging according to that. The Jews boasted themselves smart, the oracles of God, the commandments, Moses, the traditions, and all of this, and they were missing the truth too. They were doing the same thing. Self-righteous attitude. And yet they didn't see it. And they were judging self-righteous Gentiles. So you have self-righteous Jews judging self-righteous Gentiles. Because they were doing the same thing, and they're both wrong, is the point. Since there are false prophets in the world, we must be careful of the deception that is taught. One of the greatest dangers is self-deception. The scribes and the Pharisees had fooled themselves into believing that they were so righteous and all the others were sinful. It is possible for a people to know the right language. It is possible for a people to believe intellectually the right doctrine, obey the right rules, and still not be saved. And that's the condition of Romans 2 with the Jews. They knew the language, they knew the doctrines, they knew how to quote, and yet they weren't saved. They rejected the Messiah. Romans 2:1 deals specifically with Jewish sin and their self-righteous judgment of the Gentiles, despite the fact that the Jews were doing exactly the same thing in their hearts. Now look at Matthew chapter 7. Here's another great verse that they use. Judge not, that you don't be judged. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Judge not, so you don't be judged. For what measure you judge, it shall be judged and meet, etc., etc. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to hold to one and cleave to the other, or you're going to hate the one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. When you judge, to judge, I gave you this definition earlier. You pronounce your decision on what is right or wrong. When you make a judgment, when you judge something, you are saying this is right or this is wrong for you. Okay? How are you going to decide who you're going to serve when Jesus said you can't serve two masters if you don't make a judgment on it? How are you going to decide what's right and wrong if you don't judge? That's what Matthew 6 context says. A little bit after Matthew 7 in verse 15, context also talks about false prophets. He talks about who to serve in Matthew 6. He talks about false prophets in Matthew 7 verse 15. When you judge, when you make a judgment, you pronounce the decision on what is right or wrong. So here's the question. If he says in Matthew 7:1, don't judge, how are you going to decide who's a false prophet in verse 15? How are you going to decide who's right or wrong? Here's the answer. You can't. So there's got to be a greater truth. Isn't it disturbing to some of you how logical the word is and simple it is? He talks about false prophets. Now, how are you going to find out who's a false prophet unless you make a judgment on it, what's right or wrong? And how are you going to make a judgment on it if he says don't judge in Matthew 7:1? So there's got to be a greater truth here, because he wouldn't say one thing in verse 1 and then say something in verse 15, tell you to go and do the direct opposite of what he said in verse 15. Right? Sure, it's right. Yeah. Here in Matthew 7, the point that Jesus Christ is trying to make is that we are not to judge by our own standard. Rather, that we are to judge by God's standard. By God's standard. First, I must judge myself and hold myself to the standard. You judge yourself and you hold yourself to the standard of the word, because that's the only true standard to be judged by. Then I am more aware of the beam in my eyes so that I may be aware of God's grace and goodness and Jesus Christ's strength to help me take out the speck in my brother's eye. Jesus does not say that we should not be concerned about the speck in our brother's eye. He simply tells us that we will not be able to effectually help someone with their issues if we have a 2x4 sticking out of our own eye. That's what he's saying. The reason for judgment then is not that we want to condemn people, but that we want to minister to them. We want to help them. That's the reason for righteous judgment. See? The reason I spoke to that woman at Rite Aid was not to make an idiot out of her or to say, I'm right and you're wrong, was to bring the Word of God up, hope that the logic of God's Word would come to pass in her mind, and she would say, oh, I never knew God said that, or I never thought about it that way, and then I could present the gospel to her. See? Right judgments are not to fight with people. They're not to condemn people. Right judgments are to bring people to the Word of God where they're wrong, where they're off. It's part of a living Christian experience is what it is. If you buy into the lie that we should not judge, evil around you will multiply. It will flourish because you will not confront it. Because you bought the devil's lie somewhere along the way, you got it stuck in your brain, don't judge. It's none of your business. Did you ever hear yourself saying that kind of stuff? Do you ever want to say something? Does Holy Spirit ever well up in you and you know something's wrong and you don't say it? Because you don't want to judge, because you talk yourself out of it? God's gift of Holy Spirit will take a back seat to the devil's worldview that he has implanted in your thinking if you buy into the lie, we shouldn't judge. We shouldn't judge unrighteously. Jesus said, judge right judgment or judge righteously. Why would God give you revelation if you're not going to speak it forth? Because you say to God, I don't want to judge somebody. God going to give you any revelation? Because the devil talked you out of it because he planted that lie in your mind. Why would God give you revelations? Hey, go so-so. Well, I can't do that. I don't want to judge that person. Not my job to judge. It's not my job to judge that person. Well, if you're a Christian believer and you want to walk in the steps of Christ, it is your job, whether you like it or not. Now, you can deny it and talk all the cliches you want and talk yourself out of it, but that don't make it right before God. People get hurt because people don't get involved. Marriages go into divorce because people don't speak up, because we don't confront one another. You understand? Bad things happen to good people because good people don't open their mouths, and sometimes under the guise of, it's none of my business. What if it's a leader? Well, you don't have a right to judge the man of God. You don't have a right. Do you ever hear that crap? Do you ever get talked into that lie? And so you know what happened? Evil multiplies. Evil flourishes. If the leader is evil and if he's doing evil things because you don't want to, because it's not your place to judge him, we're going to let him get judged by God. We're going to let him get judged by Jesus. God will judge him. It's not your place. So you know what you do? You go like this. Not my place. You'll peek once in a while, make sure the evil's still going on. Not my place. See the kind of crap the devil feeds us, and we believe this crap? See, now this is what I'm talking about. This is the practical part of the teaching. You can teach doctrine all day long till you're blue in the face. It's no good unless you understand how it works in your life practically. Don't let the devil shut you up. You understand? The devil will talk you out of helping someone under the guise of, it's none of your business. The devil will talk you out of helping someone under the guise of, don't be judgmental. You have a judgmental attitude. But on the other hand, if you believe the lie, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You will use that phrase every time you want to justify your sinful behavior. And someone comes up to you and says, such and such, you know what you say? Don't judge me. I like striped shirts. Don't judge me. Because you don't want to hear the truth of God's word. So you know what you do? You hold up the don't judge me card. Yeah, that's it. The get out of jail free card. I loved it because I always got in trouble in Monopoly. Got my get out of jail free card. What is it? Don't judge me. That's what you do. You hold up your card. Well, honey, don't judge me. Well, George, don't judge me. Listen, how will you ever change or grow that way? When God sends someone to you or you hear something to you, don't judge me. You know what you're doing? You're going like this. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Do you ever see kids do that? Mine used to do that. You know what I used to do? Whack them. Now I got your attention. Listen. I don't let them. I never let them do that. And in the grocery lines, because they figure there's a whole bunch of people, they do that crap. You know what? Pull the pants out and whack them right there in the grocery lines. They don't do that crap no more either. That's right. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, boy. I know what you was thinking. If a believer comes to you with genuine spiritual love and guidance, and you turn around and say, don't judge me, you may be turning down God's deliverance in your life. Right? And that's not a good place to be. Oh, then we got to be aware of the other extreme. What's the other extreme? You become a Pharisee. Sherlock Holmes. And you got this big magnifying glass. And now you're going to go and find and magnify sin and error in everybody's life. Right? That's not right either. The only way that any of this is kept in balance is by God's word. God's word is our only standard of judgment. You know, the Word of God teaches us that we only have a right to go so far. As a matter of fact, it goes as far to say that if you go beyond that right, you defraud a brother. You don't do that. There's a line that you can move up to. Once you go over that line, it's bad. The problem is we don't move up to the line. In John chapter 7, verse 24, we had this verse before. I'm going to read it to you out of the English Standard Version. It says, do not judge by appearances. This is what Jesus is saying. Do not judge by appearances. But, now it sets in contrast to that which precedes and follows. But, judge with right judgment. See, Jesus didn't say, judge not, don't judge. He didn't say that. He said, do not judge by appearances, but in contrast to that, I want you to judge with right judgments. But if we've taken it and we spit out Matthew 7 1 so many times, we have relieved ourselves from confronting evil. And guess who likes that? Devil. And he likes it even more because we use Bible verses to justify our wrong theology, our wrong doctrine. So he can get us to think that we're doing the word. We'll never question that. See how tricky he is? That's why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. Do not judge by mere appearances, by appearances, but judge with righteous or with right judgments. Now, this is my translation, the New Norristown translation, my version. I would like to add, do not judge by emotions. Do not judge by friendships. Do not judge politically. I have an agenda I need to fulfill here. If I make this decision, it will help my agenda. James chapter 2 is where we'll close this morning. You know, you get emotionally involved or you get all upset about something or if you whatever and somebody asks you to make a judgment. That's not the time to make a judgment. Okay, because you say stupid things that you're just going to have to apologize for later. It's better just to say, hey, I need to think about this or I'll get back to you. You judge by friendships because he's my friend. I'm going to let him break the word of God and not say nothing to him. Because he's the greatest contributor to our ministry, I'm going to allow them to break the word of God and not say nothing to them. That's political judgment. Guess what? I'd rather have someone who would contribute a penny and have a pure heart than someone that can contribute $1,000 a week and think they can manipulate the word of God. What did Jesus say about the woman who threw a couple mites in the temple? More than them all, right? She gave more. James chapter 2, look at verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile apparel, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit here in this good place, and say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil what? Thoughts. This is the kind of judge you become. You're a partial judge. You don't want to do that. A true friend will reprove you with right judgment. So for some of you, you ought to be happy. Because you all say to me, you always tell me I'm doing something wrong. A true friend will reprove you with right judgment. You better be concerned when I don't say nothing to you. Right? Because that's not doing the right thing. So what have we learned? Are Christians allowed to judge? Absolutely. By what standard are they make their judgments by? The Word of God and only the Word of God. Right judgments keep the church moving in right direction. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you need to answer to everyone concerning your faith. Some people aren't there to learn about your faith. They just want to fight. And especially in the higher religious realm, the demons that get involved in those men, the pledges and the vows that they make to those demons, they won't let them see the truth. And the only way to make right judgments is to know the Word of God. And this is why doctrine matters. Because if your doctrine is not accurate on the Scriptures, neither will your judgment be. Point in case. If I teach for doctrine that it's okay for me to have more than one wife, then my judgments will reflect that. Why anybody would want more than one wife, I have no idea. Because one is so wonderfully beautiful. Did I get out of it? No, it's bad, getting worse. Move on to the next point. As God's people, we are privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. He has entrusted us with the precious truth of his word, and we must learn to guard them carefully. We learned that we shouldn't be ignorant, and we're not to judge by our own standard. Rather, we are to judge by God's standard. And first of all, we judge ourselves and we hold ourselves by this standard. Before we go looking to help anybody else, we make sure that we take care of us. And the more that I am aware of my shortcomings, the more sensitive and effective I will be in ministering to others. Now, you all know you don't want to be around no hard-nosed Pharisee that thinks his poop don't stink and that he does everything right. You all met people like that, right? And they're going to sit there in judgment of you. You don't want to be around that guy. You got to be aware of your own frailties. You got to be aware of your own shortcomings. Remember, doctor used to teach us, you know, don't be squawking on the man until you walked a mile in his shoes. Right? You don't know what he's been through. And on the other hand, we don't want to become hypocritical Pharisees. We get our magnifying glass out and hold it over everything. This is all and only able to be kept and balanced by God's word. And God's word is our only standard of judgment. We never judge by emotions. We don't judge because of friendships. And we don't have political judgment. And we don't believe the devil's lies in our thinking, like it's none of my business, or I have no right to judge, or I'm being judgmental. If you are being judgmental, God will reveal it to you. But don't let that be card blank for everything that you're never going to confront. And you hold up the judgment card. So it relieves you of the responsibility to confront that situation. You know, sometimes that situation may only appear to you. You may be the only one there to see it. I'm not there to see it. And if you're the one there to see it and you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, guess what? It's your job to confront it. And don't wait, because you know what's going to happen? Tomorrow you'll forget about it. We judge righteously so we can help people overcome this snare, the devil's snares in their lives. And we want to keep the Word of God pure. We judge righteously because we love people and we want God's best for them. It may be uncomfortable at times. However, it will always yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness if we want to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's why we judge righteously. So the next time you're tempted to say, I don't want to judge, I don't want to be judgmental, don't judge me, think about why you're saying that. Are you saying it because it's true? Or are you saying it because you've bought into the devil's logic that you don't want to confront this thing, or you don't want to confront something in someone else's life? But it's much easier to walk away. And a sad thing to say is that you have to push yourself and drive yourself to think this way. Because the normal response from a normal believer is to walk away. I don't want to get involved. I don't need a headache. This is going to take time. I'm going to go fishing after lunch. I don't have time for this. You know, you got a million excuses. It takes time to get involved with people in their lives, and it does. And you have to push yourself to minister to people and love them that much. But, you know, the return is a millionfold. And you see God's grace in their life. Okay, let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we're balanced on it. We don't go goofy with this, but we don't use it for an excuse either. And thank you, Father, for how you love us and take care of us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.